Today's a special day as a church. Today is what we call Child Dedication Sunday. And again, follow Renee. Amen. And here's the thing is that we've never done anything like this before. Matter of fact, we've never preached a sermon series on how to raise your kids, ever. We've never preached a sermon on how to have your best marriage, ever. And we've been around for 7 years. And so, and the reason is because, not that I think those things are bad or evil, those are God things, God good things. I am convinced, though, but one thing I'm convinced of is that, this is just our whole mantra of Restored, is that when you are a stronger son and daughter of the living King, then marriages and parenting and stuff get better. Amen? And so, while I think marriage sermons and marriage studies are good, and we do extensive premarital counseling, and we have good marital counseling going on, we have all that, and it's in our discipleship, in our one-on-one times in some ways, we just believe wholeheartedly in it, and by the way, it seems to work, amen, is that when you're more connected to the Lord, and as a man, if you learn about the love of God, and the sacrifice of God, and how the Lord treats his church, and you can read things like Ephesians 5 and say, oh, man, God sacrificed himself for his bride, and I'm supposed to sacrifice myself for my bride. It clicks. When you're obedient to the Lord, I'll just say this tenderly because I know some of you have been there, but Christian divorces might happen. Disciple divorces don't happen. You hear what I'm saying? When two people are in the same home, completely dedicated to the Lord and his will, it doesn't matter what kind of circumstances you have in your home. It doesn't happen. Amen? Now, we've all messed up. I come from a line of families where we've messed up over and over and over again. But if I was going to look back and look at my mom's marriages and my mess ups and my wife's, all of these things laid down is because we're not being faithful to the Lord. Or someone was being faithful to the Lord, the other person was not. They were acting like a non-believer. That's what scriptures say. When a husband or a wife will not submit themselves to God's will, they will not obey, they will not stop their sin, they are acting like an unbeliever. And so this is where we've been. And so now we're here, and Lacey had been asking me if we can do a dedication after baptisms, and I kind of went, okay. And the more I thought about it, though, is that, number one, we're rebellious, so I don't want to do it like everybody else. Amen? Amen. And number two, I really think that dedicating your child, the reason why child dedication services happen is because after the Reformation and after Protestant churches became live and vibrant and were moving through Europe and came here, is that they didn't have a replacement for baby baptism and sprinkling. And so essentially, Protestant churches began in small amounts earlier, and then over the last couple hundred years, more and more, especially in the last 50 to 100 years, of doing baby dedication service, where a mom and dad will get up and they'll dedicate their little one to the Lord. And I think that's a pretty awesome idea. Amen? And so, misconception is, just like in infant baptism, is that there's salvation when they get sprinkled. There's not. There's none. Nothing. None. We know through the scriptures say those who love the Lord with all their heart, give him their lives, follow him as a follower, get baptized and from a proclamation of a heart that is saved in obedience, that they are saved. And so, when you do a baby baptism, there's no salvation there. There could be, right, later in life for that little one. I was sprinkled as a little guy in a Roman Catholic church in Canada somewhere. And so, but that wasn't my salvation. So a baby dedication service is kind of the same thing. And what happens is you get people who come in and, hey, I want to dedicate my baby to Jesus. And I say, yes, but there's no salvation in it. There's no salvation in it at all. But what there is, and this is the cool part about it for us, is that you dedicating your children to God means that you are dedicating yourself to dedicating them and you to God. Amen? You are your children's shepherd. And so this morning I thought, well, I don't want to make small of what Lacey's got going on. And so we definitely want to dedicate this little girl. But I thought it would be a really cool time that if we talked about it biblically, what it is to dedicate your children to the Lord and ourselves to the Lord, that if we just did that with all of our kids. I'm excited. And so today you'll see what I mean as we go through and follow this through. But I think this is a really special day for our family because we believe in our kids. We believe that the Spirit of God working on and in our kids is as big and as important and as needed and as necessary as is ours. Amen? Matter of fact, we believe holistically that this church will be run by those generations and beyond to the nations long after we are like earthworm food. Amen? In our heaven, we're upstairs with Jesus, and our generations to come after us have to be the ones that carry on. The issue with that is that we are restored. And so, amen, but restored parents have restored kids. And what I mean by that is for every issue that you guys have, guess what? We are no way, we can't secretly not somewhat transpose that issue on them if we're not purposeful and we're not baptized in the blood of Christ. Amen? And so if you go back there, how many of you are a faithful children's worker at Restored? Raise your hand. Oh, we need more of you suckers. Anyway, you will know that some of our kids are a little high strung, high spirited, kind of rebellious, and very outspoken young people. And so with that, though, is that we want to learn how to be good shepherds to our babies. Because we believe that the power of Christ who rose from the dead and rose us from the dead is the same power that is on them. And man, I would love it. I've been a part of big church before, and people would just drop off kids at our door. They would be living like hell Friday and Saturday, but drop their kid off on Sunday. And you've heard me say this before, but they want them to come out Billy Graham on the other side. It doesn't happen. We have your kids for 2 hours a week, maybe four for those of you who are leadership kids. God bless you. Amen? But the rest of the time is spent with you. So if your heart's desire is to dedicate your kids to him, you're going to have to take their hand and walk them to the throne. Amen? That's not easy, but it's doable. And when you read the scriptures, and this is why we've been working on you so much over the years. This is why we're so heavy on discipleship and small groups, and is that I see some of your parenting getting better. I see your marriages healing. Amen? I see even just the way you talk to other people getting better because it's the fruit of the Spirit that is coming out of your lives. And so we want to call and beg on the Holy Spirit, and then we want to be on purpose with him on how we raise our babies. Amen? So this morning we're talking about dedicating our kids to the Lord. Is there a lot of examples of baby dedication in Scripture? There's some. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, and I'm just going to flip through some text today so you can just follow along with me or write them down. 1 Samuel 1:11. This is a woman called Hannah, made a vow saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Talking about like this Nazarite vow, okay? And so Hannah is praying. She is without child. And in their culture, even more than ours, a woman's everything came out of the ability to be able to birth children. And so she cried out to the Lord. She said she was in misery, wanting a baby. And some of you know exactly what this was like. She was just calling out to the Lord, "Please, Lord." And then she went and she was praying. And the priest heard her and he thought she was mumbling drunk. And she's like, she was crying out to the Lord. And he's like, "Hey, stop drinking." And she's like, "I'm not drinking. I'm crying out to the Lord." And he's like, "Oh, well then, may the Lord give you what you asked for." And lo and behold, right? That's good pastoring right there. Amen, isn't it? That's good pastoring. And then all of a sudden, the Lord blesses her and touches her. And then down in verse 26 and 20 through 28, this happens. This little one was born. And his name was Samuel. And she says, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And so she was so blown away by the favor of God that she has this little one now that she kept her vow. And I remember us when we lost our first baby. And I just remember being so angry and longing to have a new baby to fill the void of this little one that we had lost, and I just cried, and I didn't know the Lord, and God used that to bring us to the Lord. My wife first, I just begged for another baby, and then all of a sudden, when he came, and we had our first son, Kalen, I was so blown away, and this is the time when we came to the Lord, and after I came to the Lord, I was so thankful. Sometimes not having something, for some of you who have battled with this, is it actually makes you getting it that much sweeter. Amen? So be patient and trust the Lord. But here's the thing about our baby. Psalms 127:3 says, behold. Okay. Was that supposed to be for dramatic emphasis? Behold. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And here's, and I love to hear people say this, like, oh, you know, I'm going to be careful. There's a lot of ladies I know who, I mean, I love the story of a mama and a baby in her womb. But guess what? I know some women that are real passionate about being moms and these things, but you didn't make a baby in your womb. That is so far away from the scripture that it's not even funny. It says in the Psalms that God knit you together in your mother's womb. There's this picture of this God putting together, this nucleus coming together, and the embryos and whatever they are, right? And all these doctor terms that they can fill you in on later. I'm a street preacher. I don't know how the thing works. But anyway, but it says that God knit you together in your mother's womb. And so these babies are a gift in any circumstance that we come and get them from. Amen? Here's our point today, is that followers of Jesus dedicate these gifts to the Lord by dedicating ourselves first and foremost. Amen? Some of you say, well, I'm single, I don't have any kids, or we don't have any kids yet, or I'm old, and I've had my kids, and they're a long, long time ago. You've missed the picture of an oikos. Scripturally, the word for family is oikos, and oikos is everybody in your surroundings. Your village is your family. And this is our church, this is a family. And so, someone like Laura Farney or Alice back there, they are mothers in this church. They either have way old children or they never had any children at all, but they are still mothers. If you are a young family looking to have babies in the future, you need to pay attention and open your eyes and maybe glean and learn some things before you have to learn everything the hard way. Amen? Because raising babies is the easiest thing on earth, right? So you're single and you're barely holding on to your own faith and battling, right? And then you just need a wife, and then God gives you this wife, and everything's perfect because now two sinners are in one place, amen? And so you have two sinners, and everything's easy to deal with, amen? And then you pray for not only another sinner to come into the earth, but a little one that poops themselves, and you have to feed them and watch them all the time. And so, and guess what? You don't know how to do it at first, amen? And so I love seeing new mom and dads with their, some of you one-child kids just crack me up. It's like you have the Brady Bunch. I got to be honest, the rest of us just sit back and laugh at you sometimes. I'm just saying, I know it's hard dealing with one kid, but three or more, you're out the door. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Amen? Where's all my five or mores? Give me some love. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. We pray for your immaturity in parenting. But this is about all of us. Amen? This is about a village raising our children. And so if you're here, our elders, like my brothers and Tyson and Jared, they have fatherly authority into the lives of my children. They need fatherly authority in their lives for my children. I absolutely have father authority. Matter of fact, back in the day when their kids were rebellious a little bit, I would see this walking up my driveway. And here comes Ty and Brandy or someone else bringing and dragging their delinquent, angry child up the driveway because it was time to talk to Pastor Rob. Amen? And this is what I get the whole time. What did you do? And so, tell him right now what you did. No, we didn't call any names out. That was not Abby on more than half a dozen times. Come on. Sorry, Epps. Thank you. You're a sweet girl. But anyway, as we preach on this, and I don't know how far we'll get today, and we'll continue this. By the way, we have a blessing next week on Mother's Day, dads, sons, Mother's Day, okay? Dr. Davis is coming to preach next week, and so we might continue this the week after. So my spiritual pappy will be in the house. So, but here's the thing. This is everybody look at each other and say, this is a village raising these kids. Amen. So let's talk about a few things that the Lord, man, just the Lord is just blowing me up about this. I was actually quite surprised on his heart for us, and now I think we're really at a place where we could talk about this stuff truly. But here are just a few things that I want us to leave with this morning about how we dedicate our children and our lives and each other to the living God. And the first one is, we've already touched on, is that I need to make Jesus my everything in my life. You hear what I'm saying? This came to my heart last night. I was crying about this, but the best thing a person can do is to know Jesus, to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, to serve Jesus, and to be with Jesus for all eternity. That means the best thing that I can do and teach for my kids is that they need to know Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus, serve Jesus, and be with Jesus for all eternity. Amen? That's my job. And I can't, there's this deafening text. And when Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and then if I want to be a good parent and I want to be someone that is strong to my babies, I have to be immersed in the fact that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life for my kids. And I will never be able to share that with them. You can't give away something you ain't got. And that is most of us in parenting. We long for our babies to be stronger than us, right? I don't think there's a person in this room that would want our children to go through some of the hard stuff we went through, right? Matter of fact, that's kind of one of our anthems, is that we're a Mayflower generation at Restored, and we are breaking new land of new life for our kids. We don't want them to have to deal with all that, right? This is us for 7 years. Then the only way we can do that is you have to be connected to the only one that can do that in them. You have to love Jesus. You have to give him your life. You have to study his word. You have to pray. Now it's this whole thing. I couldn't even get myself straight. Amen? And now that I have myself and little ones and a wife, I have to be even that much more connected to the living God, because through him, he says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, right? Greater is he who is in me than the one who is in the world, who is trying to eat my family and devour them. Amen? But I have to be connected, and I have to be devoted, and I have to follow him. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength. It is everything to be connected to him. Amen? How else will I learn true grace? Don't my kids need grace? I mean, real grace? How else will my kids learn true love? How would I ever know some kind of I love my kids, but sometimes I got to tell you, my manifestation of my love for them is conditional. I love them without question. But sometimes battling in my sin and in my flesh, if they're being knuckleheads, it is hard for me to manifest God's love to them. Would anybody else agree with that? Oh, that's all right. You tore up my brand new. That's good. I love you. God bless you. Right? You punched your sister in the face? Good. Good. Bless you. But let me tell you this, beloved. Is that the best parent you can be is only birthed out of the best son and daughter you strive to be. That's it. There are a lot of good parents in the world. I don't want to take away from that. Some of you will say, well, I had my dad wasn't a believer, but he was a good man, and I believe that's a gift from the Lord. Even though he might not know it. But I will say this, is that there is another level of fatherly and motherly blessing is a child who gets an inheritance of Christ through their family. And that takes you being connected. Now, some of you will say, well, I've screwed that up for the last 15, 16, 17 years. Guess what? If you still have breath, your children still have breath, God is still on the throne, then there's absolutely time and authority to turn it around. Amen? Some of us walk in, most of us honestly operate in guilt parenting. I'm not kidding. Am I right? A lot of us operate in guilt. Well, I've messed up so many times, and I feel guilty because what I was inherited to from my dad and mom. And I know this is just the room. A lot of us had horrible situations when we were little. Some of us had good ones. Praise God. But we have to get out of, you can't live in guilt-ridden life for yourself. You can't parent in guilt-ridden life for your kids. You have to be set free. You have to get over yourself a little bit. And I know some beautiful, beautiful men and women that we love in here, but their kids are here and they love them completely, but they spend so much time on themselves and their issues over and over and over and over again as if they never die to self to move on to their kids because they're not connected. They're not walking in freedom. And God's will for you is to be free to be able to lead your babies, but you got to know him first. Amen? Number two, you knowing him means now that you have to lead the way. And this is a stop. This is fearful. How many of us, without raising your hands, and just the question, how many of it makes you nervous to try to shepherd your own kids? Anyone? Yeah, a couple people raise their hands anyway. Amen. But look, this is why we are disciples of Jesus. It's because he said that he who began a good work in us will see it through to this completion upon the return of Christ Jesus. Amen. So God is with you. You can have some grace for yourself because the Lord has grace. You know how the Lord doesn't hover over you and say, ah, stupid, did it again. Oh, there he did. He screwed it up again. Stupid, did it again. And he doesn't do that with your parenting. But if you will stop walking in the world of condemnation, start living in the world of conviction and following him, then you can start to lead the way. Everybody say this. I am a shepherd of my children. Now say this. I am the major shepherd of my children. That's scary, but it's true. And here's the problem, and something we need the Lord to help us with, is that you can say one thing, but what you do will always outweigh what your kids get. I used to do big-time youth ministry. And when I did big-time youth ministry, we had, 100 kids or however many kids we had. Stephen was one of them back in the day. Is that I would hear more and more and more kids come to me and say, and this would break my heart because it was true. I would come in with this. I was living in the gutter, and I was an alcoholic, and we sold dope, and da-da-da. And then these kids would be like, wow, that's cool. And then this one kid was just all courageous as all get out one day and said, he said this. He's like, good for you. He's like, but you know what? In my house, I want to do this, but I've never seen my dad read his scriptures or pray with my mom. I have never had them pray with me. I know what my mom and dad do on Saturday. I know how they talk about other people in the church. I know what they do. And so if I don't get it at home, why do you think I'm going to do it all the time myself? Now, I have an answer to that, right? Because it's your faith and your faith alone. But he was witnessing about something, is that his parents were not shepherding him. Matter of fact, they were counter-shepherding him. They were saying one thing and giving him another. And so we have to be careful when we're shepherds because they watch everything that you do. My kids have heard me preach and go on and on and on a million times. Imagine you're just here with me on Sunday in life group. Imagine this all the time. Yeah, I don't understand why they don't drool and sit in a corner and bounce their head off the wall. But they see me. They know I'm a fraud about things. They know some things I'm not a fraud about. They know that I'm working on some things. It is my heart's desire to lead them to the throne. Amen? Proverbs 22:6. This is an abused verse, but one we need to know is that train up a child in the way he should go, and when you do, he will not depart from it. You train up your gifts in the way they should go, and when you do, they will not depart from it. That's heavy. Amen? Paul says this to the Corinthian church, be imitators of Christ as you follow me. Is that what he says? This is a trick question. Be imitators of me as I follow Christ. Thank you. Be imitators of me as I follow Christ. And so what he is saying is, here I am walking with Jesus. Here I am trying to be more like Jesus. And I'm saying, as you follow me, you're following me. That is what you're following. And so when your kids see you, are they following after the living God? If they're not, okay, time to declare, prepare, and get this thing moving. But God says, while they are following me, they're supposed to be seeing him. Convicting. Amen? Here's another one. Number one, know him. Number two, make him known to your kids. And this one I want to be sensitive about. One of our, I think, stumbling blocks as the American church is that, and for me, in many ways, is that I worship the things God gives me instead of worshiping Him because He gave them to me. You know what I'm saying? And what does it mean to worship? What's a simple definition of worship? Okay? When we worship the Lord, what are we doing? We're making much of Him. We're declaring the glories of Him. We are making Him a big deal in our lives because what He has done, because He's worthy. Amen? And so in anything you worship in your life, it will take your time. It will take your money. Amen? Let me say it again. It will take your time, your money, your heart, your conversations. All of those things will be what you come down to in worship. What is truly exalted and big in our lives. Now, if you are the shepherd of your children, and if you think about it, if you turn to Genesis 22 for a minute, open your Bibles to Genesis 22. This happened with Abraham and Sarah. The Lord was testing this. And so in Genesis 22, you see that another barren couple, there's Abraham and Sarah, right? And so they are old. And how do you know they're old? Because the Bible says they're old. Amen? That's a real lot. Some people argue over that. I don't understand how people argue about stuff. They were old. When Abraham was born, or when Isaac was born, he was 100. That's a ripe old age for siring kids. Amen? All right, I'm just saying. Am I wrong? So they were not able to have children. Sarah was heartbroken. Abraham took things into his own hands through the suggestion of his wife, had a baby through another woman who was a servant. Things are working out real well when that stuff happens. Amen? But they were faithful to the Lord. The Lord had made a promise to Abraham, and He took Abraham out and He said, man, I'm going to make your descendants as many as the stars and the sand. I'm going to make you a great nation that will last forever. And Abraham goes, ah! And then when he goes home and he talks to his wife, what happens? She laughs, and God hears it. Imagine laughing at God and the Lord hearing you. Oh, snap. Sorry, God, I didn't mean that, right? And then all of a sudden she became pregnant and they rejoiced greatly and Isaac was born and it was he was 100 years old. Now they had been waiting years, like 25 years, whatever it was, for him to come. And this baby finally comes and he's such a blessing. So guess what? You would think that that is the crescendo of the Lord's blessing on Abraham and Sarah. They've been waiting so long for this baby to come. Baby come, baby come. And then baby comes, and then the Lord, seeing and being the sovereign as He is, wants to know where the heart of Abraham's heart is. And so this ridiculous thing happens coming in the beginning. Sometime later, Genesis 22, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will show you. Now, you know this story. You've heard this story, some of you, since you were little. But think about it. This wasn't a, God, give us the house we always wanted. God, give us the camel with the two-hump garage prayer, right? This was, God, this is the greatest desire of their heart, was to have this little one in their home, in their womb, in their life. And the Lord says, Abraham, guess what? I want you to take that gift, and I want you to take it to the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him, kill him as an offering to me. Now, why on earth would a good God who gave such a beautiful blessing to his children want them to go and do something horrible like that? Why? Yeah. Here's the deal, is that your heart condition with the Lord and your dedication to the Lord, your walk with the Lord, is more important than any blessing we have on the face of the earth. And that's easy when it's a car. Okay, I'll give up my car, God, to Well, some of us, it's not, because some of y'all like your cars. Some of y'all with nice pickup trucks need to just give it up to me and convict them, Lord. Shut up. All right. But here's the thing, is that your relationship with him is first. Your dedication. God wanted to see if Abraham and Sarah had changed their worship from what they had asked for and what he had given them from who he was to them. And so here's what happens. Abraham runs away to... Just kidding. Verse 9. When they arrive... By the way, Abraham doesn't even... We can't even tell from the scriptures that he even battles with the Lord. He just takes him. Verse 9. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it, and then he tied his son Isaac, his son, on the altar at the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And so it's really happening. God is waiting. Isaac is laid out and tied down. And you can imagine, don't just write this off as another Bible story. Imagine what's coming out of Isaac. What do you think he's saying? He's begging him, Father, what are you doing? And you can imagine Abraham's heart. Abraham is faithful, but Abraham has an agenda, and his agenda is to be faithful to the Lord regardless of what his heart is connected to, and that means even his son. And then he grabs the knife, and he gets ready to thrust it into his kid, and what happens? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. By the way, who is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament that we see over and over again? Who was he? Jesus. Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And so God wanted to know where his heart was. He wanted to know that if first and foremost that Abraham's allegiance was to him instead of Isaac. Isaac was a gift, but Isaac was not the fulfillment of all of God's promise and touch on his life. Worship is something that we give over to instead of the Lord. And one of the biggest things that I've seen in our church, and the churches I pastor on, even in parents longing and waiting for babies, is that as soon as that little one comes, or as soon as they get married, they don't mean to, and they mean well, but all of a sudden, those kids become the point of worship. And even though I love my daughter, I love her with all of my heart, I love my sons and my older daughter, I cherish them, I adore them, I would hold them all and sing Jesus Loves Me the minute they were born and kiss their face. I love them. But in comparison to my relationship and my honor and the glory of my Lord, they're small comparison. They are temporal in my life and a gift. By the way, they are not your kids. They are his. They are temporal, they are beautiful, they are sweet, they are not to be worshipped. They are not to be glorified. The one who's supposed to be worshipped and glorified alone is him. In Revelation 2 in the New Testament, God is talking to the church in Ephesus, and this is something that we've preached in here numerous times, is that the Lord is writing letters to his churches, and he says, listen, you guys are doing things in my name, and you're casting out people that are evil. You won't have anything to do with them. But again, I have a problem with you, is that you have forsaken your first love. They were doing things in Jesus' name, doing the rigmarole and the daily routine, but they had forsaken their first love. What they were doing trumped what he was and who he was and why they did it. This is an amazing text for me personally, maybe for parenting. In my love for my children, I see the face of God. I love the face of God. I see what it is to be a father. But if that ever trumps my relationship with him, If I ever just pull back because I have kids, I quit serving and I quit worshiping and my money goes all to that and all my time goes to that, then I have placed them above my Heavenly Father. I'm supposed to shepherd my children and walk and adore them and teach them the ways. But if God isn't the first thing in my life, I haven't dedicated my life to Him, then I have forsaken my love. And the sad part of it is that most people think it's okay. This country is full of children worship. Our churches are built around your kids having the most fun on Sunday that they can so mom and dads will stay. It's not necessarily about will we be fed, will we be strengthened, will we be taught how to teach our children. It's more about what can entertain my kids. And by the way, the only thing that can wash away your kids' sin is the blood of Jesus. Then they need to know that instead of what can entertain my kids and keep them there. By the way, can you do that in an entertaining way? Absolutely. Where's the core of it? So I have 20 other things to talk about literally this morning. Are you ready for them all? I'm just... Matthew 10, verse 37. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Some people will say, well, God's a big jerk. He doesn't understand. How on earth could I let go of my son? I'm supposed to take care of him. I'm supposed to teach him. I'm supposed to keep him close and show him. And God says, yes, absolutely. But don't forget that I remember what it's like to have to sacrifice my son for my agenda. So this morning, as we get dead ready to dedicate our kids, how on earth? Have you ever thought about it for a moment, what the perspective of Isaac was on that thing afterwards? You know, you probably had some fatherly reverence before. Right? My dad's a bad mama jama. He's Abraham. God's going to, woo, I was a miracle baby. But imagine coming down the mountain as Isaac. Have you ever thought about that before? First of all, I'd probably be ticked off, right? But imagine Isaac's thought of his dad's power and dedication to the Lord. You ever thought about that before? What would it mean if your kids knew that God was the first absolute in your life? What would it teach them? What would it say to them? What would it change about the way you love them? And we're going to talk 2 weeks from now on some of the ways that those things manifest themselves. But what would it say if you were to put our kids for a moment on the altar? To think about it, your kids, we want them to have a good education. We want them to go to college. We want them to have a strong relationship and family and children, and we want them to do well. But guess what? Doing well was never the definition of what happened to people who followed Jesus. If your kids can go to school and get an education and use their gifts to serve the living God, amen. The point, though, is that if everything in their lives is built around you building them up for college, you building them up for successful, and they attend church, I've failed. Their job is to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind. So as parents, guess what? We need God to help us raise our children. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to fall on us. And that's the cool thing is that we have access to do this. We've got to change our earthly mindset. Amen? And this isn't where I break out all the signups for ministry signups. Now that you're talking about leaving your children, I'd like you all to sign up for ministry 6 nights a week. Guys, I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about who's first in your life. I love my babies more than anything on earth. But I love the Lord more than anything in all eternity. My witness with Him is their shepherding to Him. The question is just, where are we? And so this morning, I thought it would be cool if we released the hounds in a moment. In a moment. And we released the kids into here, and we just took a time for a minute just to pray. I want to say a word of prayer over them, and then I'm going to release you guys to pray over your kids and just do some things with your kids. Man, just be honest. Nowhere on earth does it say you have to be the super godly bestest parent. Well, that's easy for you to say. People were at my house last night, saw me almost smack my kid across the face with the hamburger thing. So I'm not talking about being perfect, but I'm saying this morning, as a church, maybe this is a really great time that if we, on purpose, would dedicate ourselves to dedicating our children to the living God. Amen? So I'm going to pray. Let's see if this works. This could be tragic. Okay. I'm going to pray for us right now, and then I'm going to pray for you to go get your kids and then come back as quickly and as unhurt, harmfully as you can. And then I'm going to say this prayer. I'm going to read this prayer as you pray over your kids. And I just want to end the service with you praying over your children and dedicating yourself to the Lord. And if you're uncomfortable with that, that's cool. Just get with the family that's not uncomfortable with that. Or just do this, the mm-hmm prayers. Okay? Look at your children and say, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, amen. So stand up for a minute and grab a hand. That is, if you're not uncomfortable with grabbing someone's hand. You think Jesus ever did that a lot? Second guest preaching. Now, if you guys don't feel comfortable with this, I don't want to make you feel awkward. God, I think we just come. I just think that we need to come first to you this morning to dedicate ourselves just between us and you. God, you are worthy. God, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of my life. You're worthy of me being a sold-out disciple of Jesus so I can create in our children, by the power of your Holy Spirit, sell-out disciples of Jesus. God, the number one prayer for us, without, I don't even have to ask, it should be that our children would follow you all the days of their lives. That your grace would fall on them and they would be saved and they would be used and they wouldn't just be reproducing people doing well, but they would be committed followers of Christ, making a difference in their home, their cities, and the nations. That is what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, scripturally. And A, we cannot do this thing on our own. Some of us in here feel like we have 50-pound weights tied to us in a sea of regret and past brokenness and bad parenting that we received. But greater are you. Your Holy Spirit can do this. You're already starting it in this room. And God, we just rejoice this morning because we know that if we ask anything in your will, that you would give it to us. And this is absolutely your will for us to be parents who are disciples first. God, fall on us. God, forgive us. God, teach us. Holy Spirit, show us. Give us grace with our children. Give them grace for us. God, isn't it funny how you've given children more grace than most adults could ever muster? God, we want to do this right. We dedicate ourselves to you. We dedicate ourselves to leading our children. And we do this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, here's what, we're going to do this. Here's a cool thing about right now is that I know that in this room there are probably 10 different scenarios. And right now we have families that are really excited to do this. We have single moms that are excited to do this, but extremely in a world of brokenness and needing help. By the way, this is why you should be connected to the church, moms, is because we want to be the fathers and the people who want to fill the gap for you. But your relationship with the Lord is first and not needing some guy to fill the void. Amen. Some of you don't have your kids right now, and I know that. And it doesn't mean that you cannot dedicate your heart to being made new, to be able to get in there and raise your babies. Or even just pray for them if they're far away. Amen. And so this morning, grandparents, this is you. Moms and dads or singles or not, or marrieds and not yet with childs, this is you. You need to get around a family with some kids. Don't you? You guys don't. How dare you all sit down back to get up and get with the family. Joy, come on. Maria, get up. Everybody stand up. Please. I'll say it like Jesus would. Oh, please, guys. Please stand up if you don't mind. Please. Oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. I know you had a long day. Can you believe that Paul preached until some dude fell out of a window and died? That to me is... And then Paul like heals him and keeps preaching.
Amen. There isn't a white evangelical in America that would stand Paul's preaching, I'm sure. Amen. Gosh. That's why we don't have windows. Hey, only 15 minutes have passed. Okay, sorry. So here's the thing, guys. Is that number one, if you're in here and you're a little person and you just got put in here, we just want you all to know that we love you very much and that you are a gift to us from Jesus, and we want you to know him more than anybody else in your life. Amen? And so this morning, I'm going to read this prayer of dedication. And here's the thing, is that, look at this imagery for a minute, is that this is my flock. This is my flock. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I am still called to lead them. And there's no way that I can beat the attack of the enemy and the flesh in the world without Jesus. And so my heart has to be connected to him. He is the power that makes godly parenting available. That's it. Amen? And so we're going to pray this prayer that I found online. I tweaked it a little bit. I want you just to lay your hands on your kids, and then I just want you to spend a few minutes in prayer and just tell your kids, I love you, and I dedicate my heart to Jesus and to you. Amen? So let's do this. And I might cry. That's biblical. Jesus wept. John chapter 11. Thank you. Okay. All right, you should, if you're by yourself or here and no kids, you should be with another family just praying over them. Just butt right in there. Trent, are you with somebody back there? Yeah, don't think I didn't see you, Holmes. Get with somebody, brother. Come on over here. All right. Let me read this prayer and then I'm going to give you time. Uh-oh. This is called a prayer of dedication of our kids. Lord, these little hands are trusting. They are so innocent, and yet they will grow in a world that has been tainted by hatred, greed, sin, and darkness. Lord, protect these babies. God, we give them to you. Lord, the future seems uncertain, and yet we look at these little ones, and mysteriously we have hope. God, guide their way. Make their path straight. God, give them strength. God, we give these gifts back to you. As parents, Lord, as spiritual leaders, as teachers, as mentors, as friends, Lord, anoint us to give them an overwhelming sense of security that can only come from you. Touch them, Lord. God, anoint us as parents and ministers and friends and family. Lord, we want them to see you in every aspect of our lives, God. We give them to you. God, when they are hurting, may we minister to them through your power. Lord, when they fail, may we offer the same grace that you have offered us. God, when they are lonely, may we reach out to them and commune with them and remind them that you will never leave us or forsake us, and you will never leave them or forsake them. The scripture calls you Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. God, be present. When their bodies and minds are attacked by illness and diseases, God, may they look to you and may we look to you. You are in the scriptures, God, your name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. God, when they experience defeat and brokenness, may they look to you. Your name is Jehovah Nisi. You are the God who gives victory. God, when they are needy and if they're poor, may they reach out to you and to us. Because you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. God, be their provider. When they are lost and when they feel like they don't have a purpose, God, guide them. You are Jehovah Roy, the Lord, our shepherd. God, we give these little lambs to you. God, this is our prayer. We pray that you will be their shepherd, that they will not be left in need. Lord, make them lie down in green pastures. May you lead them beside still waters. God, restore their souls. May you lead them into paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yes, even though they will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they will fear no evil, for you will be with them. May your rod and your staff comfort them. May you prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. May you anoint their heads with oil. May their cups overflow and run over. May goodness and mercy follow them all of their lives. And we pray that they will dwell. God, we pray. God, we pray that every baby in this house will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.